Well, good evening. Let's get into this study here. This should finish the epistle, second epistle of Paul to Timothy. And we had been talking about Paul. He had wanted to go to a feast in Jerusalem. He got there and went to the temple and saw a vision of the Lord and telling him to get out of there in a hurry, because they're not going to receive what I have to tell you. So he left. In fact, the verse just gives three words to his visit there. Saluted the brethren, I think it is, in Acts 18, verse 22. And so he went on another missionary journey and came back to Jerusalem and told them. We read that in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. In verse 18 and in verse 21, we get the news that, especially verse 21, that Christ was sending Paul beyond the Jews and the Greeks, that he talked about in Romans 1:16, and you hear a lot about the Jews and the Greeks all the way through chapter 13 through chapter 19. And then when after the temple vision, Paul takes that last mission, or I'm not sure if it's the last one. I guess you could consider his arrest and trip to Rome being a trip, a missionary trip. But he comes back after the temple vision and a missionary trip, or apostolic trip, actually. And he tells them, and they explode. They will not receive it, that God would ever send anybody to those Gentiles that were against the Jews, God promised to curse them in Judaism, and they, you know, there's going to be some, that's what the 70th week of Daniel is all about, retribution to those that ganged up on Israel, as well as Israel's payback for choosing to go astray so much through the centuries, through the millenniums. So anyway, he got attacked, and then the police, the captain of the guard, I think it's called, or chief captain, they come and take him, and he's under a confinement for his protection. I take it from the way it's written, I mean. And then we get to where we're going to start here today. We see what Paul says about his first answer. 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, what did I say, second or first? First answer, yeah. The verse reads, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Why? For what purpose did the Lord stand with Paul and strengthen Paul? He goes on to say, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Why? What further purpose did the Lord stand with Paul for? And strengthen Paul. And the verse goes on, that all the Gentiles might hear. So apparently they hadn't heard yet. Or this is what he's reporting back about. That's the clincher, though. All the Gentiles. That was not merely the Gentiles whom the Holy Ghost sent Paul in Acts 13 there, and in verse 2 and verse 4, the Holy Ghost sends out Paul, according to Acts 26, 15 to 20. Verses 15 to 20 tell that the way that he was sent and the people he was sent to, the ones that God would deliver Paul from, would need to be delivered from. Paul would need to be delivered from. But according to 2 Timothy 4:17, at the time the Lord stood by Paul in Acts 22, there had been new resistance because of Paul's new gospel of the grace of God to all men. And that's what you read in Acts 22, verse 22. But you also see that coming up with, well, I've got a bunch of verses here like yesterday. Acts 22, verse 24, verse 25, when you consider it with verse 29. Acts 23, verses 6, 9, 10, 11. And Acts 26, verse 22. We're talking about the Jews that believed that the kingdom was coming from heaven and that nobody was immediately saved at that time. They would be saved when the kingdom came. They weren't being saved. They didn't. Immediate salvation was in Paul's gospel, not Peter's. Not the gospel of the circumcision. They were waiting for the kingdom to reign on earth. Reign. Like a reigning monarch. Not reign like it's been doing here. Even the apostate, disbelieving Jews believed that God was going to send a Messiah. They just did not believe that Jesus was the one. But they did believe that they were going to reign on earth. Well, let's look at the Acts record in Acts 23, verse 11. And that verse reflects back to Acts 9:15, which we'll read first. Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So there's three people groups there that the Lord tells Ananias about Saul of Tarsus, that he's going to bear Christ's name before. It's a foretelling of what's going to be the main parts of Paul's life. It's not a sending. You don't see the word send there or commission. It's not a sending. It's a report of what Paul's life will be, a forecast. The Lord foretold some major events in Paul's future about these three people groupings, the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And then we get all the way to Acts 23 before we start hearing of Paul bearing the name of Jesus before a king. Acts 23:11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. Well, Rome was the head of the government of that empire at that time. That would be the kings, part of the three people groups in Acts 9:15. And as you look back through these nearly 2,000 years, those who were the most influenced of the three people groups would be the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the most influenced of the and the people most effective, most that it had the most to do with throughout these almost two millenniums. Secondly, was the king. So it was the Gentiles were the most affected. Secondly, the kings. And thirdly, there was that changing, transitioning children of Israel that had been looking for their kingdom to come out of heaven. Part of Israel, the election, would still hope for their promised kingdom, and they believed that Jesus was their risen Messiah. Often they're called the little flock, the kingdom church. That was the prophetic remnant. It would be a small, believing part of Israel. But there was another part that believes and hears and believes, I should say, Paul's gospel of Christ, and they become the remnant according to the election of grace. So they're not in Israel anymore. They've believed Paul's gospel, and they are in the body of Christ then, immediately. They believe that God is gracious and sent his son to die for their sins. That wasn't in Israel's doctrine or gospel. They believe that the Son of God died for their sins, and at that brief time nearing the end of what Romans 11:12 calls the diminishing, some individual Jews were still being called by the gospel of Christ into the body of Christ. The rest of Israel also would hope for their promised kingdom, but they believed that Jesus was not the risen Messiah. That's the rest. Let's look at those verses in Romans 11, verses 5 through 7. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. They chose grace. Verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest, there's the rest, were blinded. Those that didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, they were blinded. According to the verses we just read there in Romans 11, 5 and 6, it was some of those formerly apostate Jews that would become the remnant, or small part of Israel, that begins to believe that apart from any covenants, God graciously sent his son to die for their sins and to be raised again the third day for their justification. That situation back then was part of the change in God's dispensing of his salvation gospel from covenants with Israel about an earthly kingdom to grace upon all that believe that Christ died for their sins and would take them to heaven. It's documented in several persons' lives that they were Jews either before the little flock believers or apart from, some of them were apart from the little flock, but these people came in, for instance, into churches of Judea, the scattered little flock, but none of the original flock with them, I guess. Anyway, they became body of Christ people. It's documented in the scriptures. Some of them, well, let's take a look. Look at Acts 18, verse 17. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes. Now that's what this example is about, Sosthenes. All the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue. So there's a Jew. And they beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. And then if you look later, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. So he had become part of the body of Christ. It's not a rotating wheel or anything. You can jump on whichever way you want to go. It was one way. That provision was part of Romans 11, verse 5, the election, the remnant according to the election of grace. It was just a few chapters out of the Bible that was when they could, the Jews could switch over. Partly because soon after that they were no longer an entity. They were not a distinct. There was the wall was broken down. There was no more distinction between Jew and Gentile. Jews or Gentiles all came to Christ as the Gentiles had before during the dispensation of the gospel. Let's look at Acts 26 verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God. Having therefore obtained help of God. Remember the verse we read, the Lord stood by him. Well, that's what he's talking about. The Lord stood by him. Help of God. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Paul had been taken into custody and charged. Paul is answering for the period for which he is charged and for the time the Lord stood by him. The details of Paul's response are from the time of Paul being charged, arrested and charged, unto this day, the day he was being quizzed, tried, or whatever. Paul said, I continue to this day witnessing to both small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Now, people say, well, see, the Bible can't be true. It's not a mystery if he's saying more than, if all he's saying is what Moses said. But he's not talking about all his life. He never said anything. He's talking about they charged him with going against the law of Moses about bringing those bringing the salvation message to the Gentiles. And later, he was charged with, was it later or earlier? That was in Acts 21. He was charged with bringing Trophimus into the temple, and doesn't say he did or didn't. I think it would say if he had actually brought him in. But anyway, according to Paul's manner in Acts 17 verses 2 and 3, it would be the gospel of God that he was teaching then. And a prophet like unto Moses is part of what he would be teaching, that Jesus was that prophet from Deuteronomy 18. And they were to believe him, but they didn't. Paul is not saying that if you accumulate all that Paul ever spoke, you will never find anything beyond what the prophets said would come. That's not what he's saying. Remember that the mystery is what the prophets did not say. It was kept secret by God. Well, that is what was committed to Paul to make known. And in Acts 26:22, Paul is only talking about the time for which he's being charged from his arrest unto this day is the phrase used. So look again at 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That's the first time in the Bible, in Paul's writings, that it talks about the gospel going to all the Gentiles. So if you're going to place it before when Paul was sent in Acts 22, verse 21, You got to have a verse for it somewhere. I don't see any of those verses, though. He says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Doesn't that remind you of Christ's Acts 9 sending of Paul? As reported in Acts 26, verse 17. And delivered, the word delivered is used again. It says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So there is a connection between those two verses, and there is a major difference between those two verses. Do you see the connection? Paul had been sent to those from whom Jesus was going to deliver him. In Acts 9, that was the people, the Jews. Jews that did not yet believe the gospel of God, and the Gentiles that did not yet believe the gospel of God. That Jesus was the risen Messiah, the Son of God. Going on to the next verse in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Since 2 Timothy 4:18 says, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, that indicates to me that at that time, Jesus sent Paul to every man. Every man, not just the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was no longer a limited special sending to the Jews and their associates, to whom the gospel of the kingdom had been preached all along. That was the focus of those in the dispensation of the gospel, was those to whom it was preaching Paul's gospel. The gospel of salvation, the First Corinthians 15, 1-4 gospel, but it was focused, it was aimed at the Jews and the Greeks, the ones that had been receiving the that had heard and had the gospel of the kingdom preached to them. So 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And let's see. Paul says in Acts 9, Jesus said he was sending him to those from whom he would deliver him. And we read that verse. That's Acts 26:17. So starting in Acts 9, there were some Jews and some Gentiles to whom Jesus sent Paul, from whom Jesus would deliver Paul. Remember, one of those deliverances was after he had been stoned. In, was it Lystra, I think? On an early visit there, I think the second trip. Not sure if it was second. I think it was, though. But he preached, and they didn't like it because he was preaching that Gentiles could be saved, and they followed him out of the city and heard he was preaching. I think he preached at one of the city, and then they stoned him. And he got back up and went back into the city. Preached a few places on the way. The specific sending was to the Jews and the Greeks back then, during a dispensation of the gospel. It doesn't say to all. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. See how it specifies the people and the Gentiles, the ones that he's delivering him from. Christ says to Paul, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And by the time of 2 Timothy 4:18, Jesus told Paul to preach not only to the Jews and the Jew blessers, but to every evil work from which Jesus would deliver him. Of course, when Paul was about to go to be with the Lord, he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, that evil government, out of this present evil world, in fact, and he would no longer need to be delivered. Chapter 4, verse 18, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Verse 19, "Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus." Verse 20, "Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus I left at Miletum sick." Well, although in Acts 28, verses 8 and 9, Paul had powers to heal, here, after the end of Acts, in 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul had to leave Trophimus at Miletum sick. It was obvious that there had been a change in dispensations, from the dispensation of the gospel to the dispensation of the grace of God. Verse 21, this is 2 Timothy 4:21. "Do thy diligence to come before winter." Verse 13, remember back in 13, he said, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring," you know, he was trying to prepare for the cold winter in prison, or dungeon is a more descriptive word. He had asked Timothy to bring his cloak. And now, in verse 21, "Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren." And we'll close with verse 22, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." So that completes our look at 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote, as far as we can tell, the last inspired writings in the scripture, in the Bible.